This is Good News Hour. And your speaker again today is David S. Horn of Denver, Colorado, coming to you with another message from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. In a previous broadcast, I spoke from this chapter, but I'm not going to take up the same message today, and I do not have the same thoughts on my heart and mind. In the past broadcast, we spoke on this, the fear of death, which was found in verse 15 of this chapter, that was the sinners. Then I spoke of the power of death, that was the devils. Then I followed by speaking of the sufferings of death, that was the Savior's. Then I spoke of, in verse 9 of this chapter, deliverance from death, that's the believers. And I think that was the most interesting theme that I could ever bring before you. Now today, I'm going to read from verse 1 of this same chapter that I read from the past broadcast, and I read it verse 9, but we see Jesus, and that's in verse 9 of this chapter 2, made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death. But it says, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everyone. Now, I want to bring before us today, we see Jesus, and from the Word of God, show us where we see him. When we turn to chapter 1 of this same book, we find him in the second verse of this first chapter, and this is how it reads. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath created, appointed, heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Now that was a Savior in a past eternity, and this is his creatorial power that he's speaking of. Now that was the Savior in the past. When God gives us a description of his Son from the book of Proverbs, this is what he has to say, that he was daily his delights, always rejoicing before him. It's the first time God could say that about any person. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when our Savior left the hand of God and came into this world, men tried to find fault with him. They tried to catch words out of his mouth, but he met with disapproval ere he left the very face and hand of our God with these words said about him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, no matter what you may think about him, and no matter what you may say about him, God's word is, he's my beloved Son. And then he said, in whom I am well pleased. Our God and Father was pleased with the work of Christ in a past eternity when he was daily his delights. Then, later on, in his creatorial power, God was satisfied with everything that our Savior did. Then we go down just a step farther, and we step from his creatorial powers, and we're going to look at some of his redemptive powers. When we come to verse 3 of this chapter 1, and who being made in the brightness of his glory, and the exact or express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, when he had by himself, and the word of God makes this very clear again from Peter, that his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now that's the Creator, and he stoops down to be our Redeemer, and this is his redemptive work at the cross of Calvary. And when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God loved his Son in a past eternity. God loved his Son as a man in the body on the earth. And God loved his Son when he was on the cross of Calvary, making there his soul an offering for sin. Men and women had sinned against God and forfeited every claim upon God and lost our hold upon God. And the Savior come to redeem them that were under the law, that were under the curse, and put us into the family of God. Now someone is asking and someone is thinking, how do we get into the family of God? I've joined church. As a lady even said today, I joined church the second time, and I'm afraid to say anything. I don't know how to move. I don't know what to do. Well, we were indeed happy to tell this one that she was not asked to do anything. What our Savior did when He created the heavens and the earth, He did everything, and then He gave the earth to man. What our Savior did on the cross of Calvary was made an end of sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He did everything for man. Now, God is a giving God, and God is not asking something from you. But I tell you, when the Savior was born into this world, He said, I bring you. He came bringing something right down from God to man, and that something was salvation, forgiveness, and a title clear to mansions in the sky. But I want to read this verse 3 again of chapter 1. And we just mentioned, we see Jesus. We saw Him as the Creator. We see Jesus now as the Redeemer. Hear these words once again, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. By the word of His power, He created the heavens and the earth. And He said He's the upholder of all things by the word of His power. And so that's the one we want to tell you about at the present time and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. Then He turns from speaking again about upholding all things by the word of His power and says, when He had by Himself purged our sins, and then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, our Savior has not been on this earth for a period of nearly 2,000 years. It tells us in the Gospel by John that He came from God, and then He went to God, but between the time of His coming down from heaven and the time of His returning back to glory, He said, Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I have finished the work Thou gavest Me to do. And the Savior finished the work. Someone said, what work did He finish? Well, in creation, everything. In redemption, everything. Now He has been holding out to the human family a forgiveness of sins through the finished work of Christ. I think of the well-known verse, and possibly you've heard this many, many times, in Acts chapter 13 and verses 38 and 39, we have these words, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man we would see Jesus, someone said, through this man on the cross of Calvary that died for sin, not his own, that died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that took the sinner's place in death and rose again for our justification. Sirs, they said, we would see Jesus. And then the Word of God said, when they saw the Lord, their hearts were made glad. And we can say to you at this very time today that our Savior on the cross of Calvary satisfied the claims of God about that life of sin of yours, and He's holding out forgiveness, and He's holding out salvation, and by the power of the Spirit of God has dealt with you in conviction, making you realize, I need a Savior. I need salvation. I can't meet God as I am today in my sins. Otherwise, that would consign my soul to endless despair. But today, God is meeting poor sinners in grace. And He knocks at your door. Oh, give Him a place. I can think of men and women, boys and girls, that have told me this story. Many nights I have spent with tears running down my cheeks, wondering how I could find the Savior, how I could have my sins forgiven, how I could know I'd ever be in heaven. Well, had they known this, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things. Well, someone said, I think everybody believes. And that carries me back to some nearly 35 years ago when a man said at the end of a gospel, why, everybody believes in Jesus, but the Word of God makes the Word of God speaks that men are unbelievers. He said they're all in unbelief. I know they believe about the Savior, but it's one thing to believe about Him. It's another thing to believe on Him as a man that satisfied God when He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. and then bow before Him and receive Him this very day as your Savior. He wants to save you, and He'll save you now if you'll just turn away from self and trust His Son as your Savior. Well, we see Jesus in chapter 1 and verse 2 as the Creator. We see Him in verse 3 of chapter 1 as the Redeemer. Now, in chapter 2 again that I've called our attention to, here we have Him once again, and He's crowned with glory and honor. Where is our Savior today? Well, God raised Him from the dead, and God took Him back to heaven, and He is now seated at the right hand of God, and the Word says, there a Prince and a Savior, and that Savior wants to save you. Someone said, how can He save me? I want to be saved. What, do you want to get saved in God's way? Well, the Word of God comes to us in Acts chapter 16 and verses 30 and 31. A man asked this question, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And should you be listening in at this time with one speck of desire on your part to be saved, will you not believe His Word? Will you not receive God's Son that died for you? Will you not take that one as your Savior? And John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believe it, O sinner, believe it. Receive the glad message is true. Trust now in the crucified Savior. Salvation He offers to you.